had communion and we remembered our weakness and that we need you all the time, just like we need food and drink each day more than that, but we need you. And now, as we come to your word, we need you as well. And we pray that your spirit would come and be at work through me, help me, I'm a weak vessel, and be with all of us, touch our hearts, mine included, and change us by your word. We thank you, we could sing about your kingdom, and as we think a bit about your kingdom, change us to be faithful citizens. We pray in Jesus' name, our King. Amen. Okay, we're looking at Acts chapter 2 today, but first I'll just show you this photo. I don't know if anyone would recognise this guy. I didn't until I found that picture. I was reading, you can go to the next slide, his name's Evan Davis. Okay, still probably means nothing. But I was reading an article a few months ago in the B-Mag, you know, that you get that free thing that comes around, and for some reason I was reading it. And in this particular one, this guy was talking about one of the radio announcers who has like an article, a blog kind of article in there. And he talked about this guy, Evan Davis, who's a Gold Coast man, 30-something years old, and he's big on Twitter, okay? And he tweets all the time about what he does and where he goes. And he's into event holidays. Apparently, before, he's done pretty well for himself financially, and before, he's travelled all around the world, wherever we might want to go. He's already been there. And now, he decides to go on event holidays. He goes to places where there's special events and things happening, sometimes big events, like he went to Eurovision, or he went to small events, like the relaunching of the local baseball team, or some local Brisbane or Gold Coast event. And he tweets about it, and people follow him, and because they're interested in special things. You know, we're interested in if there's some different event, something unusual. We want to know what's happening, and if we can't be there ourselves, we like to be there through somebody else. And I guess that's what he does. He tweets about it, and people follow him and find out what's going on. One of the more recent events he went to, I'm sure you've can recognise this photo, the royal wedding of William and Kate, and he went there and tweeted about that, and he was on some video BBC somewhere in the background. I looked on the YouTube, I couldn't really see him, but apparently he was there in the background. He didn't take that photo, I just took that off the web. Who watched that? Who watched this on the when it was on, or some of it, maybe not all of it? I fell asleep at the end, before the balcony scene I was asleep. Everyone else watched it, I think. You know, we like to watch again because it's a special thing. It doesn't happen that often. Royalty, that's got something interesting about it. And even more, wedding, that's something interesting. A princess being married, we like to see that. And so we can't be there. We weren't invited. But we'd like to watch it on the TV and participate, like by proxy, if you like. Okay? But when there's these special events, we'd like to be part of them. You know, it's special for us to be part of a special event. Well, what I want to talk about today, we want to talk about one of the greatest events that's happened in history. And we're going to look at Acts chapter 2 and Pentecost. Often we look a lot at Christ's death and Christ's resurrection, and they're probably two of the other greatest events. But Pentecost is actually also one of the greatest events in history. And next week, next Sunday is Pentecost Sunday, and I don't think Roger's speaking on it, so I thought I'm going to look at Pentecost and speak about Pentecost and think about what does that mean as that comes up. I don't know about you, my church experience has not been in a particularly, liturgical church. We didn't follow the calendar. Some churches, this is important these days, but it's important to understand what happened in Acts chapter 2 and Pentecost because it is one of the greatest events in the history of the world, and actually we can still be a part of that event today, as we'll see. So what we're going to do today, we're going to read through, it's a long section, we're not going to do every single detail of it, okay? We're going to try and read through and get some of the main points, the gist of the chapter 2, because it's important to see what's going on there, and then I'll just make some comments as we go through and then tie some things up at the end. So I'll read this first bit later. We might all read some together, but I'll read this because there's going to be all these names and it can just be me who makes a fool of myself not pronouncing them correctly. So Acts chapter 2 from verse 1. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. Sorry, it is on the screen. I should apologise too, I didn't make a handout for everyone today. Sorry. Try and look at the screen or just listen. And So Acts chapter 2 verse 1. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a mighty rushing wind. And it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound the large group came together. And they were confused, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they couldn't understand and were amazed, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in his own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God." The whole list of countries all around the known world virtually for the Roman time. And all of them couldn't understand and didn't know what to think, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others mocking said, "They are filled with new wine," and they're drunk. So the background first, what's going on? Okay, Pentecost, what is Pentecost? Pentecost just means the 50th day, okay? Penta is like 5 and there's a times 10 in the original. Okay, Pentecost means the 50th day. And for the Jews, that was an important celebration. There were 3 big celebrations for the Jews, and that all the people had to come from all over the land and had to come to Jerusalem and be there for it. And this Pentecost, the Feast of Weeks, as it's also called, was one of those events. And so they were there for the Passover. That was one of the other big events, 50 days before. And then they went back to their homes. And then they came back for Pentecost. And that's why all those people from all those different countries were there as Jewish believers, coming to find out, to do their service as they thought they should at Pentecost. It was a harvest festival. It was the end of the harvest that they celebrate, and possibly because later it also became significant because they remembered it was the they calculated it was probably the time when God gave the Ten Commandments at Mount Sinai, and they had the covenant. So that could look at that could affect how we understand Pentecost. But we'll leave that. You can go away and think about those if you like. But the main thing that all these people were there because this was a big Jewish festival. And at that time, the disciples, they were still in Jerusalem. Jesus had already died. Jesus had been raised to life, and he disappeared up into the skies. We heard a few weeks ago when Johann preached to us. And the disciples were waiting because Jesus told them, "Wait, because the Holy Spirit's going to come. And you just wait in Jerusalem for that to happen." And so they were there praying faithfully in the house, praying and waiting. And it says, as we read, the Holy Spirit did come. And there was all sorts of spectacular things with rushing wind and fire, some kind of fiery appearances over their heads. And they started speaking in other languages, unusually. So that when all the other people were visiting Jerusalem, they heard something was going on. Maybe they heard the sound of the wind, or maybe they just heard through gossip that all these people were talking in other languages together. And they all came and had a look. And they said, "What's going on? This is just weird. We don't understand it. All these people talking in other languages. We can understand. We know. We've seen some of these people. We've heard them talk other times. They're from Galilee. They have an accent. You know, we have accents depending on where we're from. And they had accents. When Peter was hiding after Jesus' capture, the girl came to him and said, "I know your accent. It's from Galilee." And so they knew they had an accent. But now they heard them just like they were speaking their own language. And I thought, what's going on? This is just kind of weird. This doesn't normally happen. And so then, just go back to the previous screen. Okay, that's fine. So then, sorry, I just checking what's on there. So then Peter responds, okay, and we have his response. Why don't we all read this one together? You can stay sitting down and we'll read this together. But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them. Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen carefully to my words. For these people are not drunk, as you suppose, since it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. But this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions. And your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapour of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So the first part of what Peter, he explains to these people when they're asking what's going on. I mean, they may not personally have been asking him what's going on, but he took the opportunity. He gets up with the other disciples and says, we're going to tell you what's happening because something important, really important, has happened. And so he explains first in what we've just read that the Spirit has come. And not only that the Spirit has come, he says this is what God said would happen. You may have noticed he quotes from the Old Testament. He says, from the prophet Joel. Okay, he says, I'm telling you, what you've seen now is what God said a long time ago was going to happen. The Spirit will come in the last days. Okay? And so he quotes that to prove his point. To say, this is the work of God. And this is the Spirit of God that's come. And there's some interesting things that we, you know, there's lots of details in there. But there's some interesting things we'll just note today. One, in the prophecy of Joel, it says, if we can go back to the previous slide, it says, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Okay, the time of the last days, the time of that the Old Testament people were all waiting for, when God's kingdom would come, it says, this is what will happen that time. I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Okay, not just on some. And the emphasis is on the all flesh. And that's why then it explains in Joel. He says, It's the old, the young, okay, the male, the female, everyone will receive the Spirit. All my people will receive the Holy Spirit. And this is one thing that's different in our time, in the time after Jesus. The people of God are the people who have the Spirit of God. In the Old Testament, the Jewish people, a lot of them, most of them, didn't have the Spirit at all. Okay, and they just didn't follow God really at all. They didn't have the Spirit on all the people. It was only on some. Okay? And we read in the Old Testament sometimes the Spirit comes and fills people and they prophesy. Right? David prophesied, even Saul, and then the Spirit left him. Prophesied. And so how would they know if they had the Spirit in the Old Testament? Usually, not always. There's sometimes the tradesmen had the Spirit, it says, in the making of the tabernacle. But sometimes, or most of the time, it was because they prophesied or they did something through speaking. Or they had a vision or a dream. And so they knew this was the Spirit of God at work in them. Okay? And so that's why Joel, he says, they will all prophesy. Alright? I don't know if you've thought about this, but you might say, well, does everyone prophesy and have dreams and have visions? Because later in the Bible, in Corinthians, Paul says clearly, not everyone prophesies. Not everyone speaks in tongues. Not everyone has these same kind of gifts. Okay, so what Joel is saying is not really every single person is going to do these things. He's using that as an example to say the Spirit will come on everybody. And the way in the Old Testament they thought about the Spirit coming was prophecy. And so he uses that expression. All right, this is what it looks like when the Spirit comes. The point is the Spirit will come. The point is not the prophecy. All right, because those things, dreams, he's not talking about. You know, in I guess in modern times, we talk about somebody has a dream, somebody has a vision, But we just mean like they have a strong idea. A leader has vision. A leader has a dream. It's not a word from God. But in the Bible, vision and dream are messages from God, okay, by the Spirit. If I can just go on a slight side point, one of the verses I hear so often misquoted, and I just don't like it, is there's that proverb in chapter 29 of Proverbs. It says, a people without a vision will perish. All right, and people say, oh, you've got to have leadership, you've got to have vision, and they've got to lead people. But it's not. It's about a word from God. A vision is revelation from God. And it says in that same proverb, but the people who have the law, they will be happy. Okay? It's talking about the word of God, a ministry of the Spirit, and a special revelation of God. So that's what Joel's talking about. Vision, dreams, prophecy. It's saying this is something only God does. It's not a normal kind of, I've got a dream, Martin Luther stuff, right? It's about a word, a message from God. But it's just about a work of the Spirit. And so Peter says, Joel told us what's going to happen in everyone's going to have the Spirit, not just some. Everyone. If you're a follower of God, you will have the Holy Spirit in you. And he says, that's what's happened. With this tongues, that's how you knew. You could see it. It's not that everyone had to do that, but you could see something different had happened because the Spirit had come on these disciples in that room, in that building, as they were praying. And Peter's telling these people who are thinking they're all drunk or you know, something crazy is going on. He says, this is not crazy. This is a big thing that's happening. The Spirit has come just as like it's said in the Bible. In the last days, the Spirit will come. The last days are here and the Spirit has come. Take note. Can you go back to that next slide, please? Go on from there in a minute, but just one other thing to notice. All through here, he's quoting the Old Testament. It's, you know, this is a bit technical, some of this stuff, but it's useful, this passage, because we often think, how do we interpret the Old Testament? How do we interpret the prophecies? How do we interpret the Psalms? How do they apply to today? And Peter gives us an example of how to do that. And he tells us about one prophet, Joel, and how he talks about the last days. And he says, it's now. The Spirit has come, just like Joel said. It's been fulfilled. And these are the last days. So that's a good thing. You know, it's a good thing that we can have the Spirit. That if you follow God, you can have the Spirit who can give you boldness to talk to other people, who can give you strength to fight against the temptations and sin in your life, okay, who can give you comfort when you're worried about the things that are going on, you're afraid, and you want to know, does God really love me? And the Spirit testifies in you and says, God is your Father, He loves you. And this is a good thing. We don't have to think, well, maybe I'm a Christian, I don't have the Spirit. No. Everyone, if you follow Jesus, you follow God, you will have the Spirit and all the blessings that come with that. But, next slide. What has this got to do with Jesus? Okay, I mean, that sounds good, the Spirit. But, what's more? Peter wants to say there's something more important here, actually. His focus is not so much on the Spirit. His focus is on what this has to do with Jesus. Let's we can read this together again. Men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. This Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosening the pains of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. Okay, let's stop there. I've highlighted a bit in the blue there. To pause and just reflect on that. He says, what happened to Jesus? You know, Peter's developing here, he's connecting what's happened. He says, okay, you're all in this city and you know what happened 50 days ago. That Jesus was killed. All right? And he says, actually, that was all part of God's plan. It was part of the definite plan and foreknowledge of God. It wasn't a mistake, and it wasn't him losing. Okay, it was all God's plan. But that doesn't get you out, you know, doesn't let you go free. You're still to blame. You're still at fault. And it's bold, isn't it? Peter's there talking to all these people, thousands of people that are around the place. And they think they're crazy. And he's going to tell them, you guys killed Jesus. Okay? That's gutsy, isn't it? And the reality is, you know, for us, that's still true. You know, we can say, well, they killed Jesus. Yeah, I wasn't there. But there's a sense, you know, every time if we have or do ignore God, we ignore Jesus. We don't listen to him. We treat him as if he's not there. Or we wish the things he said didn't apply to us. Or we didn't have to do them. Then we're saying, Jesus, you know, it's good that you would be gone. It's good that you were dead. And we also, when we do that, we're saying, Jesus, I want you dead. And we can say for ourselves, we killed Jesus. And if we're a Christian and we know our sin is on Jesus, then all the more we say, my sin, put Jesus there. He was suffering in my place. And it's because of me that he's died. So it's true for us, and it's something we need to take stock of and dwell on for a bit. And not you know, gloss over it. That Jesus was there as God's plan, but it's because of us. And we're to blame. And if we were there, we wouldn't have done anything different than the mobs who one day they were saying, yes, Jesus, heal us, teach us. The next day they're saying, kill him, kill him. Let's keep reading. For David says concerning him, if we can read together, yeah, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will dwell in hope. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades, or let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David, that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us this day. Being therefore a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Again, there's lots of things in there, and the bulk of that is quotes again from the Old Testament. And Peter saying again, everything that's happened is exactly what God said would happen. It's all part of the plan. There's no mistake, no accidents. It's all part of God's plan. And in those quotes, if you notice them, maybe we can just go back to the previous screen. He kind of explains about how we know Jesus is still alive. Okay, as well as saying that we saw him, he says this is what God said would happen, because he prophesied in David, and David said, it's not right for your Holy One to stay dead and to be in the grave. He says he must be raised up, and he must come out of the dust. Sorry, the previous one. We talked about Hades, we can just say it's the place of the dead. That'll do for us today. And he said, God cannot abandon Christ. You know, sometimes we think about that's not fair. Christ should die. He didn't do anything wrong, which is true. And there's a sense where God vindicates that, and he says, that's right. He's the only holy, righteous one, and so therefore, he deserves life. And it was not right that he should stay dead. And so God said, I will raise him up, and I will not let my Holy One stay in the grave. And Peter goes on and says, well, we know that wasn't David. Right? David's dead, his body's still there, the tomb's still there. If you want to go, you can go look at the bones, they're still there. But not Jesus. And again, how do we interpret the Old Testament and the Psalms? He says David was actually speaking about Jesus. David knew that God had promised him one of his descendants would come and be the king and would sit on the throne. And he says that was about him. David said he was going to come alive again from the dead, and he did. And more than that, the promise was that he would be a king, that Jesus would be a king and that he would be ruling. Okay? And he says, this is how we know he's ruling, because he does things that a king does, and that God as king does, and that is give the Holy Spirit. All right, in the next one. Yeah, that one. It says, being exalted at the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, the Father gave Jesus the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit, and Jesus then gives the Holy Spirit to the people, because he's the king now and he's equal with God, ruling in the throne. Okay? So Peter stresses to these onlookers. He says, you've seen the Spirit. It doesn't just mean, wow, that's good, the Spirit's here. It means Jesus is king. Jesus is sitting on the throne, and he's waiting, getting rid of all his enemies for God. Just like if you think of the Old Testament, that's what the king did, King David. He became king, and then he had to defeat all the Philistines and get rid of them and bring peace to the kingdom. And it says there, Jesus is reigning as king until he makes all the enemies God's footstool. Well, sorry, God will make them Jesus' footstool. Like that he can just put his feet on and rest his feet on them. They're under his power and his dominion. And he's conquered them. So Peter makes a very strong statement that when you've seen the Spirit come, you know Jesus is king. You thought you killed him. You thought you beat him. You thought you made him the loser and you're the winner. But no, Jesus is the king, and he's demonstrating his authority and his power, and he sent the Spirit, and the kingdom has come. It's not finished, it's not full, but it's started. And you need to get a grip of that. So that's why he says, be sure. You can be certain. God has made this Jesus both Lord and Christ. Okay, Christ, the King. And he's in charge now. He's not the suffering on the cross of Jesus now. He's the Jesus, the King, who's getting rid of the enemies. So it's the beginning of a new age. The last days. Okay, a new era. And this is why it's a special event. You know, we talk about Jesus' death, we talk about Jesus' resurrection, we call this the ascension or the exaltation. Okay, and it's very important, just as Jesus' death and his resurrection. It means Jesus has gone up. He didn't just go up into the sky to just kind of wait with God. He's gone up to sit on the throne and to be the king, just as God promised he would be. And now he's ruling. And this is the beginning of the kingdom of God. So world history had a point of change when Jesus died, resurrected, and ascended. It's no longer just the world as it was. Now it's the kingdom of God begun. And you better get with the program, because when he's finished, there'll be no more enemies. And which side are you going to be on? Let's go to the next slide. What does it have to do with that? Next one, please. So when those hearers, they heard that, they said, I'll just read. It says, now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? It clicked in their head as they listened. And they thought, we killed Jesus. Jesus is the king. We're in trouble. Okay? I studied engineering, but I did kind of one course while I was there. You had to do one, when I did it, you had to pick one non-engineering subject. So I did one on Tudor and Stuart England, about all the kings and queens in the Tudor and Stuart period of England. And I couldn't remember all the details, but I can tell you one thing. You know, when somebody's, they're always vying, who will become the next king? And they're trying to work out which one's going to get the throne, and there's conspiracies and parties working out who they're going to try and push up to the throne. And they'll do all sorts of things, try and kill off some of the you know, the children or the descendants, so that someone else can get in. But then what happens when they don't kill the guy? They try to kill him, but it doesn't work, and then he becomes the king. Well, what usually happens is the king then just goes and finishes them off, right? It's dangerous, you know, and I'm sure that's the normal thing in most cultures, right? The king, it's dangerous. If you go against the king before he becomes a king, and he becomes a king, you're in trouble, okay? Or the emperor, the king, whatever you want to, you know, call it. Caesar, happened with the Romans, okay? In human history, that always happens. And these guys, they clicked. They realized, as they think about what normally happens in the world when I see it, if I conspire against the king and I'm unsuccessful and then he becomes king, I'm in big trouble. Okay? My head's on the line. And so they say, what are we going to do? Because they realize the seriousness of it when they've gone against Jesus. And then they've realized he's now the king. And it's the same for us. You know, we said before, what happens when we reject the king? If we ignore the king, if we're ignoring the king now, it's only a matter of time before God puts all his enemies under Jesus' feet. Okay? Not in revenge, but you fight against the king, you know, and you do all sorts of bad stuff. Well, he's got to have justice and peace in the kingdom. And it's not going to allow that to continue forever. You know, sometimes we, I'll just say briefly, sometimes we kind of say, how can God be good and just and still punish people? Isn't that not right? But I tell you, if you were in your house and some evil person came in and was just torturing your children, and you stood by and said, well, I'm loving, I love you, I love my children, I'll just let you do it. Okay, that's not loving. And that's not good. It's not good for the person who's doing it to let them continue in evil doing, wrongdoing. It's not good for your children that you love or whoever else. And the same with God. He is good and he is pure and he loves, but he's not going to let sin go unchecked. And there will come a time where he'll deal with it. And at the end, if we keep ignoring Jesus, he's the king and he will do it. That's his job now. Okay, his job description, in a sense, he's on the throne to bring peace and to get rid of the enemies. But the good news, I mean, you know, we should think, well, I'm in trouble. And those people did. But the good news, next slide. And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls. With many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. You know, that's amazing. We, like I said, we know what a king would normally do. But God and Jesus the king, through his ambassadors, the apostles, Peter, he says, you know what? If you repent and you come follow me, I'll forgive it all. Doesn't matter you killed me. Doesn't matter you hated me. Doesn't matter you ignored everything I said. I'll forgive it all. Just come. Turn away. Repent means, you know, to change your thinking. A new way of life. Or turn around your life. Live a different way. Stop living the wrong way. Running away from God or rejecting God. And turn back to God and find the love and the welcome. And you see the Spirit, all the benefits of the Spirit that Peter's saying to those people, you witness what's here, it'll be yours too. He will be given to you as well. Because it's to all, it's not to some. If you're a believer, you will have the Spirit. The promise is to you as well, as he says. To you, to your children, to everyone from every country. You know, it's not just the Jews. It's not just some. If you come to Jesus, you have the blessings of Jesus. And you receive the Holy Spirit. What an amazing kindness of God that he ignores our rebellion. He says, come, and you can be part of the kingdom. And this event, this big event, this new age, this new era, the kingdom of God, you can be a part of it. Even though before you were fighting against it, you can be a part of it, and you can be celebrating with the King. Next slide. We see the result. So those who received his word were baptized, and they were added to that day about 3,000 souls. You know, not everyone who listened, but there was a lot who listened, 3,000. And they took that opportunity that was given to them. They repented, they turned to Jesus and said, "We'll be part of the kingdom, thank you very much." And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And all came on every soul. And many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. Okay, next slide. And all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favour with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Starting from the end, day by day, Jesus keeps building his kingdom and more people are added to it. But what does it mean? These people came, the 3,000 came and joined the kingdom of God, and they lived a different way. They devoted themselves to what the apostles taught, the teaching of Jesus. They said, "I need to know. I need to hold on to that. I need to keep following it. I need to learn it. And I need to live it out." And that's what they did. They lived it out. They helped each other. When somebody had need, they said, "I'll sell my house. You don't have enough money? Let's sell my house and spread the money around." Okay? They helped each other practically. It wasn't just all talk. And it says when they did that, all the people were looking, going, maybe they didn't believe. All of them didn't believe that looked on. They said, "Wow, these people are different. God is shining on them. And they're self-sacrificing. And they help each other and they love each other. Wow." You know, when we follow Jesus, people see a difference when the Holy Spirit works through us and works in us. Next slide, please. So, you know, this is the great event, that the kingdom of God has begun. And you know, when you're on Facebook and you've got an event and it's still going, it says ongoing, right? And the kingdom of God is ongoing. All right, it hasn't finished yet. Okay, it's going to keep going, and you can still be a part of it. And what's your situation now? How is your part in this special event, this great event? If you're not yet following Jesus, you know, maybe you're here, I know some of you are here, you're not yet following Jesus, you're thinking about it, or maybe this is the first time you've even heard about Jesus, maybe it's the first time you've come to a church, or maybe you've been a few times. Well, the same invitation is to you that was to those people nearly 2,000 years ago. You can come and be part of the kingdom. Doesn't matter if you ignored things Jesus said before. Doesn't matter if you rejected things before about Jesus. You can turn and you can come to Jesus and you can be made clean by him. And you can receive the Holy Spirit and you can be part of this event. You can do it today. If you want to get baptized today, someone else can talk about that. But you can believe today and you can repent today. And you can do it now. You just talk with God and you do business with God and say, "God, I need to change my life. Can you change it for me? I need to know Jesus and I need the Spirit to be at work in my life. I submit to you." You can do it now. What if you're a so-so follower of Jesus? You know, the reality is some of us, maybe all of us at different times, we think, "Yeah, it sounds good. This Jesus stuff sounds good. Gives me a bit of a guarantee at the end. If there's some judgment day, I'll be okay." I read somebody recently, they described it like this. It's a transaction. We go to the shop, we give our money on the counter, we get our asbestos suit, and we think, "Right, I'm good now." And then I go back and live my normal life of, you know, work, career, dating, marriage, children, mortgages, whatever, and forget about Jesus. All right? And maybe that's you. Maybe that's me. Or maybe that's you now. And you're thinking, "Well, yeah, I don't know about Jesus. But he is king. And there's no kind of option that maybe he's only, you know, he's going to get off the throne and say, 'Okay, you get up there.' No, he's the king. And there's no kind of option to just kind of half choose Jesus. So again, you need to come and get with the program now. And say, I repent of my life now. You know, repentance for Christians is not just at the beginning. All our life we need to repent. And we need to keep looking at our things that we're doing in our life and say, I need to live more for God. I'm not following God enough. Or I'm not really not putting Jesus as King. Well, do it today. Ask the Spirit to change you. Ask God to change you. And submit to Jesus as King. Or otherwise you might find out, I mean, the serious reality, you might find out maybe you're not in the kingdom if you don't really care about following the King. But lastly, if you're struggling to follow Jesus, you are a Christian, but it's hard. You know, people maybe think you're crazy. Why do you do this stuff? Or you look, we were reminded last week, like the psalmist in Psalm 73, you look at some non-Christian friends, you think, well, they seem to be having all that fun all the time. Why can't I have some of that? You know? It's hard for me. I'm trying to do the right thing, and it's difficult. Well, Jesus, know for certain, Jesus is King. You've made the right choice to follow Jesus. You don't have to turn back. Okay? That's the good choice, and it's the right choice. As Peter said, know for certain, Jesus is the King. Keep following Him. And if you struggle, you know, we struggle with sin again, like I said before, you get afraid when you have to talk to other people. Because part of being in the kingdom is sharing about the King. He's given you the Spirit. And that's the promise, that you have the Spirit so that you can do what the King wants. And you don't have to feel like you're on your own. You can be encouraged. It's not up to you alone to follow Jesus. If you're struggling, praise God that He's the King. He'll help you. He'll look after everything that's going on, and He sent His Spirit to help you. Let's pray. Lord God, Lord Jesus, we praise You. You are God, You are King, and You rule on Your throne. And we thank You that we can be part of Your kingdom. We pray again for anyone here who at the moment they're not sure about following You. Or they're thinking about whether they should follow You. Well, work in them, Lord. Send Your Spirit and enliven them and enable them to turn to You, to repent and to put their trust in You. And for us, Lord, if we're trying to follow You and it's hard, strengthen us and encourage us and help us to be excited and enjoy this privilege that we're part of one of the greatest events in the history of the world. The kingdom of God, and we're part of Your kingdom. Help us to live that out day by day. We pray this for Your honor and glory. May Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.